Hi, my name is John.
And my name's Chris.
And this is Stay on Target.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Stay on Target. This week, we are talking about The Walking Dead mid-season finale.
The Walking Dead mid-season finale.
Yeah, it was good. Okay, I'll hold that for later.
Now let's just hold off on that. Like, no more talking about it until later.
No more talking about it.
None.
Yeah. So we took a week off for Thanksgiving.
We did. We gave thanks.
Gave thanks for many things.
Yes, very many things.
Various things.
Yeah, you know, we took the week off. We had the Catching Fire review before that. That was a really, really fun thing.
Yeah, so if you saw Catching Fire over the past couple weeks and you want to see what we thought about it, check that out. It was our last episode.
It was super fun. It was a lot of fun. All right, and next week, we're actually going to be doing The Hobbit.
Yep.
So, movie month extended.
Extended
something
edition.
Like that.
Director's cut.
The director's cut. With 48 hours more. No, I don't know.
November,
I don't know what I'm talking
about. Yes. I do like that, though. November movie month
extended,
director's cut.
It's the extended edition, the director's cut.
Yes.
You're right. All right, so this week.
Or Ridley Scott, we'll have like 15 iterations of this.
With alternate endings.
We'll end up in June and we're still doing movie month.
That's true. You know, I mean, honestly, we probably could. It's really good movie season right now.
Yeah,
I mean, there's a lot of good movies.
We might just turn this into December movie month.
It's like literally, that's very true. We've also got
Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah, Wolf of Wall Street. There's what's the one about Walt Disney that's coming out?
Oh, yeah. The one with Tom Hanks.
Yeah. It just slipped my mind the name of it right now.
That's the name? Oh, okay.
No, that's not the name of it.
It just slipped my mind.
It just
that would be hilarious. You should look it up right now. But that would be hilarious if that was the name of the movie about like a senile, old and senile Walt Disney entitled It Just Slipped My Mind. And it's all about like maybe the characters that he thought up but like never made it into movies because he forgot about them.
Saving Mr. Banks.
Saving Mr. Banks.
That's it. For
about
the
Mary
win.
Poppins.
Yes, it's about Mary Poppins and that whole thing. So that's coming out. That's going to be good. I'm excited about that.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, but first it's time for the new. I don't know what I'm doing here.
The news!
The news!
All right, so we have some humongous news.
First of all, the first news is that was possibly the most awkward news transition we've had yet.
Ginormous news.
Really big news. The number one news story on everyone's minds. Wonder Woman. I mean, was thinking, yes, Wonder Woman. This is blows my mind because like we didn't even know she was going to be in the movie.
Well, there were a lot of rumors, and I don't know if it was actual real rumors or if it was just fanboy speculation. But there were like last week there or end of the week before, I think there were some rumors that people were actually. Screen testing for it, and she's been cast. It's Israeli actress Gal Gadot.
Yep, Gal Gadot.
She was in Fast and Furious. Was it Fast Five?
I think it was Fast Five.
Hang on, we're gonna find this out real fast.
Anyway, but
she's in Fast Five, Fast and Furious Six, Fast and Furious.
Give it a quick like. We'll link to an article in the post here at stayontargetpodcast.com, and you can check out some pictures, that sort of thing. I think she looks the part. I think this is gonna be one of the coolest things ever.
Yeah, she looks great. Like, you know, just like she looks like a young. Warrior princess.
I really think she looks like an Amazon, you know?
Yeah.
And to me, it's like it's something that's interesting to me is that the big three, and we've mentioned this, I think we mentioned it on the Arrow podcast this week.
Yeah.
The big three, like Justice League members in our minds, are Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman.
Right.
And so now we're introducing all three, or two of the three, in one movie.
Right. Yeah. So let's go into a little discussion here.
Yeah.
We like to call
discussing
the
warrior princess.
Computer chair chats. With John and Chris.
Computer chair chats, as opposed to fireside chats.
Yes, as opposed to fireside chats.
No? Okay, I like it. Yes. I like it.
So, welcome to Computer Chair Chats with John and Chris. The topic today is the Justice League and Man of Steel 2/ Batman versus Superman.
Okay.
Yes. Okay, well, I'll talk normal now.
I mean, I can talk like this too if you want. I mean, but I feel like that would be just get really straining.
Okay, so we're gonna have the Justice League in Batman versus Superman. It's, so like, okay, this is what I feel like. I don't know what's going on here. Like, I feel like they thought that as a brand, the Justice League would not fly as their own movie.
This is a backdoor pilot. This is a backdoor.
A backdoor pilot?
Well, this is like a backdoor. Like it's the equivalent of that in the movies. So I guess it's a
backdoor
it's,
franchise.
It's a backdoor Justice League. You know?
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, it's essentially Justice League without the Justice League in the title.
Yeah.
Unless they go ahead and, like, I mean, we don't have a real title yet. I mean, other than Batman versus Superman.
Well,
but
now all of a sudden there's rumors that Barry Allen is going to be in, The Flash is going to be in Batman versus Superman, which he just got introduced into Green Arrow. So does that mean we are looking right now at someone who will be in the new movie? I think that's totally possible.
I mean, it's possible for sure. I mean, even if it's just like a cameo or whatever, maybe.
Yeah. I mean, and maybe that's a tease at the end of the movie or something like that. Like, I mean, for a Justice League movie.
You know, he was on Glee. That actor was on Glee. And so it's like a lot of people know him. A lot of people love him already. And so it's like, I feel like maybe this is like the Arrow, you know, thing is kind of like testing his character for the movie, in fact, as well as the
TV show.
Which
we mentioned that this episode of Arrow felt very cinematic.
Yeah.
And so, like, I think he would fit well in a movie universe.
I agree.
Like, his character felt like that. And so, you know, we know we have Batman, we know we have Wonder Woman, we know we have, well, we don't know, but we're pretty sure we're going to have The Flash. And they've already have those characters cast. DC does.
That's crazy, man.
Yeah.
You know, what's fairly interesting about the announcement of the Wonder Woman thing to me is that a lot of times, like, it has been felt, and I want to say, like, Gail Simone has tweeted about it before, where it has been felt that, like, Wonder Woman has never had, like, a fair shake as far as, like, films and TV and things like that go.
Well, the last time she was on TV was a long time ago.
Right. I mean, they had that pilot for Wonder Woman a while back. But I mean,
yeah,
was
that for the CW?
I want to say it was for the CW, but they never really aired it.
Apparently it was terrible.
Anything.
So
I mean, it's like, and so I'm
either that or they, okay, this is one of two things could have happened. Either it was terrible, or they decided this is too good not to be in a movie.
Right. And part of that to me is that, like, I don't know. I feel like to a certain extent, there's this idea that Wonder Woman is a harder character to write than Batman or Superman,
which is not true.
Which is untrue. Which is just blatantly untrue.
Well, like, people just take, I don't know, like, even in the comics sometimes, like, they just don't know what to do with her, and I don't know why.
I don't know.
Just make it ground, like, like you do everything else. Just make it grounded in reality, and you're fine.
And it might be part of the fact that, like,
throw out the invisible plane if you have to.
Right. And throw out even the fact that, like, I feel like to a certain extent, it might be the whole, like, female aspect of it, you know, that sort of thing, where, like, she's just surrounded by other male superheroes a lot of times, and it's like, that's hard to write, you know. And it's like, well, I feel like you just need to, like, throw that out altogether, and just, it's just, she is a character, she is, just make her real.
Yeah,
you know, make her a real person.
And I am optimistic about this movie.
I am too, man. I'm super excited.
Like, the choices, you know, like, we were iffy on Ben Affleck, but
yeah,
like,
you know, the more I think about it, the better, the more, like, I like it, you know?
Well, like, I was reading something on IGN today where they had a piece, an excerpt of an interview that, of all places, Playboy did with Ben Affleck. And, no, it wasn't IGN, it was, I think it was Kotaku. And he basically said, you know, like, they asked him about all the fan backlash about him being cast, and he was like, you know, if I felt like what was going to happen was another Daredevil, I would riot too, basically.
Yeah.
He said, you know, like, that was literally my worst film.
Yeah.
And I think that where the character, how the character's written and where he's at in life, it's going to be good.
I mean, it's kind of one of those things that, I feel like because he knows that Daredevil was bad, he will not make another movie that's like that.
Correct.
You know, he won't do it. And it's like, he's matured so much as an actor since then. I mean, he's directed movies. He's, like, just as a human being, he's almost a completely different guy now.
Yeah, for sure.
And I mean, other than his iconic hair, his gin.
All the gin he drinks all the time.
Other than all the gin he drinks.
His chin.
Other than his chin and his hair, it's like he's pretty much a completely different guy.
Right,
you know?
Right.
Okay, so as far as the Wonder Woman casting, though, I mean, I'm super excited. She looks the part. She's a really, like, powerful, strong character in these other movies.
In the movies and in real life.
Yeah, and, like, in real life.
She was, you know, spent 2 years in the Israeli military. Like
they all do.
Well, they all have to, yeah. And so, like, you know, she, you know, I think she's going to be a good choice. I'm excited. I'm really pumped, actually. Like, I've wanted a good Wonder Woman casting for a long time.
I think everybody has.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm excited.
And I definitely think this is the closest closest to it that we've had yet. So
yeah, yeah. And second piece of news. The PlayStation, I think it was, has sold worldwide, PlayStation 4, like 2.6 million units worldwide.
Yeah.
Over a million, we know for sure, in North America.
Right.
Xbox One did better, apparently, on Black Friday.
Right. But wasn't that also the release date for... No, they did it all simultaneously, didn't they? Europe and all that stuff? They didn't delay it by a week or anything?
Microsoft, no. It was all the same.
It was Sony.
It was 15 territories. It was less territories than Sony.
Yeah.
And then, you know, like the news after the Xbox One release was that they had to sold a million worldwide.
Gotcha.
So it wasn't just North America. But they still sold better here. So anyway, the long and short of it is... Both these consoles are doing great,
yeah,
and that's exciting, you know. Just because, and this is the thing, like even you know, I have friends who are primarily PC gamers, and that's fine. That's all well and good, but like, there's been a lot of like, is the console dead in the past few years? And the answer is a resounding no. With these sales figures, you know, which is exciting because,
yeah.
You know,
well, even whenever I had pre-ordered this thing, like even whenever we pre-ordered it back in the day, it was like, I was sitting there. I was like, as much as they said, oh, there's no more pre-orders. Everybody's pre-ordered as many. I mean, you know, there's going to be at least some players, but it's like, I was always kind of like just apprehensive about like how many people are going to pick this thing up. It's an expensive piece of gear, you know? And so it's like, it's very, comforting to know to a certain extent that it's like, you're not the only crazy person in the world that bought, an Xbox One or a PlayStation.
Well, the PlayStation 4 with it's effectively this is the biggest console launch in history.
Heck yeah!
And so all that does is mean we're gonna have like these consoles are gonna be around for a while. We're gonna have great games for them.
Yeah.
Great experiences in our living room, and I'm excited about that.
Great experiences in the living room.
In the living room.
What if
room?
You have it in like you're like your third bathroom or something?
Well,
like that,
then you're gonna have some great experiences while you're sitting on the can.
Or like in your
just
like shed
on,
out back.
Just don't turn on Kinect.
You know?
Your shed? Yes.
Yeah, I guess an HD camera in your bathroom or your
if
shed may not be the best
Xbox
idea.
If someone keeps their Xbox in
so.
The shed, I want to meet this person.
Let's Skype. You know, somebody Skype calls you and it's in like your shed or your bathroom or
that
something.
Strange.
Oh, it'd be just so awkward. Anyway, okay, so was there any other news?
Yeah, there's several other pieces of game news.
Cool.
So Battlefield 4.
Oh, yeah.
EA has said that they are not... letting the developer move on to DLC until they fix the problems with the game.
Which is a good thing.
Yeah, I think, I don't know if I mentioned it here on the podcast
I don't
yet.
Think you have.
But I played, you know, Battlefield 4 and it's great. It's like the multiplayer is really fun. Campaign's really fun. That game is verging on being broken.
Yeah.
Like, and it has been since it launched on all systems, basically. All systems
worse
are
on
having...
PS4, though, correct? Was that correct? Like, there were like when it initially came out for that, it was like worse.
It's just, yeah, I mean, it's
but I guess
just
that was
bad.
Earlier than there's Xbox having... 3 or Xbox One came out then.
Right,
so
there's
they
a bigger
patched
hubbub.
It, that sort of thing.
Yeah, like they've released a patch for PS4, I know for sure. I don't know about Xbox One.
Yeah.
Because the thing is that the patches, whenever they release them, are not as apparent on Xbox One because it just happens like, before you even log on. Although no, I take that back. A couple times it's forced me to do an update before I start a game.
Yeah, sometimes I've done like I had a title update today for Ghosts, Call of
Duty
Ghosts.
So maybe it just hasn't because I haven't seen one come across.
Gotcha.
But you know, like the server kicks people out all the time. Like you'll just be playing in it,
man,
and it won't just kick you back to the beginning of like Battlefield 4 main menu. It kicks you out of the game entirely. Like the game crashes.
That's awful.
And you get kicked out to the Xbox dashboard.
So and on Battlefield, it's like that stuff isn't like live updating to where like it's like if you're in the middle of a match, it saves your kills and your deaths, but counts as a loss if you get kicked out. It doesn't even count for anything.
Anything. Yeah.
So if you are like 40-0, you lose that match.
Right. Mm. And here's the other thing. I played two levels, 2 hours worth of the campaign.
Yeah.
Got out of the game. Left, like, ran some errands, came back, turned it back on, game save, non-existent.
What?
Like, just, I lost that progress.
That's awful.
Yeah, and I'm not the only one. Like, so EA said, like, they are not moving on. They are fixing Battlefield 4.
As well they should. Otherwise, they'd have, riots on their hands.
Well, yeah,
man.
You have people who've paid $60 for the game.
Yeah.
And It's like, I mean,
well, not only $60 for the game, a lot of them bought PS4s for the game and Xbox Ones just for that game, right. You know?
Well, this is the thing, you know, if it wasn't Battlefield 4 and if it wasn't such a great experience, if it wasn't such a great game, like, no one, everyone would hate this game. No one would buy it because it's almost broken.
It's just broken, yeah, yeah. You know.
And then there was some news today that Xbox is going to fix its party chat
system. I saw that. Well, it's like, of course we knew this. Like, of course we knew they were going to fix this.
There's a lot of features that they need to add back in.
You know, there's some things, I mean, and everybody knows that at the beginning of the console launch, it's like, this is something we've literally never seen before with Xbox One, especially. Yeah. More so than PS4, just because of the number of features, because of the Kinect,
right.
Because of the voice chat. It's like, literally everything about this console is new. And so it's like, to add back in some of the more user-friendly features, like some of the achievement stuff, like whenever you pop online, if it would just notify me, I would be happy. It's all of this stuff. I imagine it's going to be coming down the pipe, you know, it's going to be happening, but it's like, it's a work in progress, you know?
Right.
And especially the party chat though, that was a situation where from day one, it's kind of been kind of clunky, where it's like you get more than two people in a party chat and it's like, it's spotty sometimes.
Yeah, for sure.
So I don't know. I mean, obviously they're going to fix it and that's just coming. I mean, did they announce any like time frame, like 2014?
What are we talking about? No, like they didn't say. And so like, you know, this is going to be next year for sure.
Yeah, of course.
I don't think it's coming this year.
Right. I mean, we only have like a couple weeks left in this year, so
Right. Yeah. Well, that's the news.
Okay. So here we are. We're going to talk about The Walking Dead.
The Walking Dead.
Spooky.
Yes. So I have full disclosure here. I have seen this episode.
I have not.
John is still way behind.
I'm way behind. Okay, so the last thing I saw, we're on episode 3. Catch me up right now in 30 seconds, Chris.
Episode 3? Okay. What happened? What's the last thing you saw?
I mean, we were after the person that burned those diseased bodies.
That's the last thing you saw?
Yeah, dude, that's the last thing I saw. It's terrible.
Okay, so like it's long awful. And short of it is,
Do we leave the
There was that big epidemic,
yeah.
And everybody got sick,
yeah.
And Herschel helped save them all.
Well, it just helped thin out a lot
Daryl
of the,
and
like
Tyrese
the...
and Michonne and that other doctor guy, yeah. Black dude, went and got some medicine, came back, gave everybody medicine, okay. So everybody's healing.
Hang on, is my theory right about who burned the bodies?
We don't know that yet. We'll talk about that in a second.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. No, the answer to your question is no.
Okay, so because I thought it was going to be the doctor guy that you were just talking about, the military
well,
doctor.
Well, like, we still haven't really, like, we'll talk about that in a second.
Okay.
But I think you're completely wrong.
Okay, I probably am because I'm so far behind right now.
Okay, so then we spent two whole episodes with the governor. All right.
What?
All right. But they were awesome.
Listen, how is that possible?
Listen. They were awesome. So like it backtracked to right after he killed all his guys in season 3.
Right.
There's like car alarms going off outside. Like the world is on fire. Apparently.
Wait. In the zombie apocalypse on Walking Dead.
What? I'm talking about in real life. Do
no,
you not hear
I,
that
no,
right
I
now?
I hear that. I was just kidding.
All right. So anyway, Governor. Because it picks up right after he shoots all his guys in the second or the last season.
I'm kind of disgusted about this.
Listen,
right now.
Listen. You should just leave your open mind because these are some of the best episodes so far. And it basically outlines like what he's been doing, and he meets up with some people, and he gets in with this other group, and you think he's changed, and some crazy stuff goes down.
Of course, he hasn't changed.
Okay, but you know, like it was very good. Like it was very good. You need to watch them.
Okay, I'll watch it.
And not bash them.
It's kind of one of those things on this show where it's like, I don't care what happens. I'll watch it either way, whether I know or not. It's more the delivery that I love
right.
about
and
this
show.
And
it was show. A great delivery.
Okay,
because the entire time you're just sitting there, like. You know, it's one of these, like, you know he's going to go crazy at some point. You're sitting there. You are waiting for him to just lose it.
You're waiting for that other shoe to drop.
And the payoff is good.
Yeah?
And so he decides, he basically assumes control of this group that he meets up with.
Whoa.
And kind of creates the same kind of situation almost that he had at Woodbury with, you know, just like the way that they're operating.
Trying to protect each other.
And then it jumps back to the end of the episode like two times ago.
I dig it.
I think it's called Internment.
So basically we catch up on him and then we go back to the main group.
Yeah,
we
go back to the main group.
Okay.
And we pick up with the governor giving this big monologue to his current group of people about that they're going to go take the prison.
Oh my goodness.
And he's already snatched up. Smashing up their peoples, climbing in the windows, snatching their people up. He's grabbed Herschel and Michonne and brought them back.
Dude, of course he has, because he has this weird twisted thing with Michonne.
Well, what he wants is he wants the prison. So he shows up and decides he wants the prison.
And this is the mid-season finale?
It's the mid-season finale.
Okay.
Shows up with the tank this time.
Oh my gosh.
And a whole bunch of people, more people than they have inside the prison. Like, this is the showdown that they should have had the first time. This is the real showdown with the governor.
So the showrunner was essentially like, this new showrunner this time was just like, okay, since we didn't give you that last time, I'm going to give you what you wanted.
Yeah,
and do it.
There's a couple aspects to this. First of all, you know, like, I still hold to the fact that they went through multiple showrunners just like hurt the pace of the show several times.
Of course it did. Yeah.
And you know, the first time that like this is what should have happened the first time that he attacked the prison.
Oh yeah.
But they just didn't think about it enough. And honestly, like,
might not have had the budget either.
I think they had the budget, but like after the first attack, they couldn't just immediately have him attack the prison again or anything like that. Like, they needed to get back to a point where this could happen. And something that I do appreciate about this season, that early on the showrunner now said on Talking Dead, after the first episode, was that he said, you know, every single thing that is said in this season, every line of dialogue means something.
That's good.
And has a payoff later. It's like there's no throwaway dialogue in this season.
That's good.
Yeah, it's great.
Well, and that also means, like, if he's putting that much thought into the dialogue of this thing, that means every action also has a payoff, which is what I've been looking for from the beginning.
Right.
And that's what I liked about the first three episodes that I have seen of this season, where it's like, while I may not have enjoyed as much of like the second season and the third season as like you did or anything, it's like one of those things that this season I watched it and I was like, man, this is looking so good.
Yeah.
And like, this is the show that I wanted it to be from the beginning.
Right. Even the writing, you know, like there are several times, you know, like that they've written this like like you would write a comic book.
Nice.
And so, like, you know, there's early on, and there was some dialogue that Carl had with Herschel where he was basically saying that that he said that he wishes that the world could be, you know, like, okay all the time, and basically they were like, but it can't always be that way. And then it comes back later, and it can't always be that way. And
yeah,
you know, that was some great dialogue. There was some dialogue with the governor in the governor episodes, you know, where the governor said how he thinks he can, like, they go through this whole thing where you think the governor has changed, and he thinks he's changed,
right?
But like, he legitimately thinks he's different. But he realizes that he's not, but there's the opposite side of that, where Rick has really decided he's not going to be the same person he was, and he and Carl are not going to be the people that they were,
right?
And that go down the road they were going down, and he's changed. And so whenever they meet up in this episode, you have this dialogue with the governor saying, "We want your prison." Rick says, "We can all live here."
Hmm.
And get along and learn to live together. The governor says no. Rick says, we can change. We can all change. We can all come back from this.
I like it.
And the governor just says, you're a liar. And
that's awesome.
Yeah. Like, major spoilers for this episode. Like, we should have just said.
Just blanket spoilers.
Just blanket spoilers over this.
Entire series.
They
do. You know?
They have that conversation where Rick says, you can change. And the governor says, you're a liar. And what's cool is, like, there's like this kind of Dutch camera angle from the governor's perspective on Rick standing in this field on the other side of the fence, and he says, liar. And it just, like, they hear nothing else. There's no other sound in it. Just like he whispers liar and it reverberates, and it's like that's the focus of it. Then chops Herschel's head off with Michonne's sword.
What? Dude.
Herschel dead.
Just immediately, just like that.
Exactly.
Then gone. Doctor, gone.
Then war breaks out.
Oh my goodness.
And there is a major fight for the prison.
That's great.
Yes. They storm inside the prison. Like, basically, like Rick had told him before that, he said, you can either, we can all live together. He said, either we all live in the prison or no one lives in the prison. We're not leaving. We're going to fight for the prison. But you're not going to just take it without our fight. You know, basically, like, you know, he was just saying, the governor was saying, I don't want to destroy this. I'm not going to destroy this place because we want to live in it. So I'm not going to blow a hole through the walls with the tank. But he ends up doing it anyway.
Well, of course. Well, I mean, obviously with Rick saying something like that, where it's like either, you know, we're all going to live here or none of us are.
Right.
It's a situation where he's willing to take it to that level. He's taking it to the edge of, you know, the planet.
Right.
Where it's just, he's going to blow up that prison before he lets
anybody
out.
And I honestly, like, I loved seeing Rick back in charge. Like, you know, the whole council, idea of the council is cool. And
it's like, I like exploring that because, like, that would in fact happen. I mean, there would be groups of people that it's like, well, you can't, well, not one person can decide.
Right.
You know, and it's like, that's good for a time, but it's like in this instance, especially in the world, that world,
yeah,
it just makes sense for somebody smart.
I love
to
way that the governor like lays that out because he's, you know, Rick, he shows up, they destroy one of the towers and they come out and he's calling Rick to come negotiate and Rick says, I'm not in charge anymore. There's a council now. They make the decisions. And he goes, is Herschel on the council? And they drag out Herschel.
Wow.
And is Michonne on the council? They drag out Michonne. He's like, you're the one I'm talking to. And and so Rick has to do this and take this leadership role again that he doesn't really want. Whereas the governor, there's a big juxtaposition in the previous episodes with the governor says he doesn't want to be in charge. He kills someone over the fact he doesn't want to be in charge. Like he says, why don't you share the crown with me? And he says, I don't want to. I don't want it. And he kills the guy over it and says, I don't want to be in charge.
But really he does.
Really he does.
Yeah, like, I mean, of course.
Because he thinks he's changed, but he really hasn't. And so, you know, there's this big huge, like, you know, you can just see the contrast between Rick and the governor. They both have leadership positions. One of them legitimately does not want it and is forced into it time and time again.
Yeah.
And there is one who wants it and takes it by force.
Yeah.
And things don't turn out well. And so, you know, basically this episode was just a big payoff for the entire series, like first half of the season up to this point.
Yeah. And most of last season too, it seems like.
Yeah, yeah. Like, and you know, so just listing off, I won't go through the details of the rest of the episode necessarily just as a recap, but you know, like in the comics, whenever the governor comes and destroys the prison, you lose Axel, Tyrese is killed, Lori and the baby are killed. You have Herschel's killed and, I can't remember. There's a couple other people who are killed. Axel was killed the first time the governor attacked the prison,
right,
along with someone else. I can't really remember. But this time you have, Herschel's dead. You have, dead governor. You have possibly dead baby, Judith. And
I mean, you just don't know.
No, you just don't. Well, we don't know. Like,
gotcha.
And that makes you think that maybe she's still alive. But what happens at the end of the episode is everyone gets separated.
Gotcha.
You know, like because there's a bus that they tell some people to get into, and they get into it, and it just gets too hot, and they ride off. So you basically have Carl and Rick together.
Okay.
You have. There's two sisters that were with the governor that I think they might follow. I don't know if they will or not, but they talk about it, about meeting up later.
Gotcha. So aside from the specifics of like where everyone is, you know, at the end of the episode, what do you think as far as like the presentation of this episode over, you know, previous mid-season finales?
Well, yeah. Well,
or even season finales.
Well,
let's just go there.
Even when I was sitting there and I was watching with Jared, he's been on the podcast before.
Right.
And you know, like the entire time Jared was like, just like, this is not going to end this time. Like this is not going to pay off. Like,
right.
We're ramping up and it's just going to like go nowhere like it always does.
Yeah.
And it didn't. Like, it goes exactly where you want it to go in the way that you want it to go. And honestly, just exceeded both of our expectations, you know,
nice,
for this episode. I think Jared, you know, kind of wanted something after where it was at, but you would have had to cut a previous scene or make the show longer. And
you have to have something for the mid-season resolution, as
right,
it were. You
right
know, you have to resolve something next, you know, episode.
Right. What's, you know, moving forward, I think we're going to have all these groups split up. You've got the bus and then you have like, you know, Daryl and some people, you know, like he's separate. Daryl was awesome in this episode. He destroys it. Single-handedly takes out a tank. He uses a zombie walker as a shield.
What episode isn't
throwing
he awesome in?
Throwing grenades everywhere. Like, this guy is awesome.
Yeah.
And what the interesting dynamic is where Tyrese is. So Tyrese is by himself with the group of kids.
That's interesting.
That Carol was training earlier in the season.
Yeah.
And this is where we get to what you were talking about. Early on in the episode, they show, like, oh, this is the other thing that happened that I didn't mention. Rick found out that Carol killed those people.
Oh, wow.
Or at least he thinks that Carol killed him, and he asks her, and she admits it, but with absolutely no emotion at all. Like, she just says, yes. And she explains that she thought that the disease that they had was going to spread to everyone else, so she decided by herself to kill them and contain the disease. Well, it didn't help, obviously.
Of course.
So he takes her out. He learns this. He decides to take her out on a run for supplies.
And abandons her?
And
basically,
he takes enough stuff to give her guns and food and tell her, you're on your own. Leaves her in a car, gets her a car, and all that kind of stuff, and says, you're on your own, but we can't have you. He's like, I don't want you with my kids. I don't think you're going to be able to live with Tyrese. Once he finds out that it was you, he's going to kill you.
Yeah.
You can't stay with us.
So as far as like that element goes, do you think, okay, so we're going to talk about like there's a spinoff series coming sometime.
Yeah.
Do you think this could possibly be one of the groups that split off here, or do you think it's just an entirely new new group?
That's definitely a new group, and we can talk about that in a second. But moving on with the Carol thing, like this is what I think happened. I really honestly don't think Carol did it. I think the little girl did it, because in this episode that it starts off at the prison, and Rick is telling.
How would she have drugged those people out there, though?
Well, I mean, I don't think that's an issue. I don't think that's the issue at all. Like, she's strong. I mean, and those people were small people anyway. Like,
I guess, yeah, that's true.
And,
that's true.
So anyway, but I think that I honestly, because there was the whole rat thing there, Tyrese finds another rat in the caves in the prison and calls them over and says, you know, hey, look at this. And Rick's about to tell him what he did and that he left, you know, Carol outside the prison, and then they get attacked. He never gets to it, so Tyrese doesn't really know what happened. But the fact that the rat thing is still happening, like there's a rat like opened up and pinned to a board, and like it's just creepy. I honestly think that the girl that Carol is watching killed those people,
and she's just covering for the girl.
She's covering for her.
Yeah,
and this is the other reason why I think that, because they've now stuck Tyrese. It's Tyrese and the kids.
Yeah, it makes sense.
And she's in that group, and he's going to find out somehow that little girl killed
the woman he loved.
Exactly.
Yeah,
and he's going to have to deal with it somehow. And so that's honestly what I think, because otherwise they wouldn't be bringing this stuff up back up again. They wouldn't like have Tyrese still freaked out that there's something going on.
Yeah.
And they would have just gotten rid of Carol as a character. She would have died in some way or something like that. Like,
right.
She's going to come back, I think.
As far as her character goes, it's been kind of a long haul with her. I liked the aspect of her being a mentor and things like that to these little girls, but it's like, it's been a while.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I feel like, you know, the people might be, I don't know. I was kind of getting a little bored with her as a character. But
no, I liked her growth. Like, her growth as a character is like, she was kind of turned into the Andrea from the comic books. Like, the way that the Andrea was in the comics versus, you know, the Andrea from the TV show was completely different.
Oh, yeah.
But Carol now is basically Andrea from the comics.
Nice.
Which I liked a lot. And I actually like the way that this is playing out, because, you know, there was some iffiness as to whether Carol should be teaching those children these survival things anyway.
Right.
And I think that it's come back to bite her.
Of course.
I think that she taught them to do this kind of stuff.
Well, she taught them to be, you know, she taught them to wield knives and to be
strong and all this kind of stuff.
Uncaring almost.
Yeah,
you know?
Basically be heartless. And she's kind of that way ever since Sophia died.
Right.
She's kind of passed that on to these children, and I think that's a kind of cool dynamic, just dealing with that aspect of it.
Yeah.
So moving forward, that's pretty cool. Like, and the fact that they were still setting that up in this episode for next season.
Or you mean for the next half of the season? Yeah.
Is pretty cool.
Yeah.
But, you know, all in all, this episode was about ending their tenure at the prison.
Right.
Ending the reign of the governor,
which is a good thing.
Yes. And moving them on, and honestly, like, whenever we move on, they can go straight into some things that they saw in the comics. You know, like in the comic, Rick gets sick.
Yeah.
Whenever it's just him and Carl by themselves, and they spend some time like in a house, and Carl's having to learn to provide for his father and things like that. And so I think we can go down that route. We don't know where baby Judith is. Maybe she's alive. Maybe she's dead. Like, all these people are all split up. I'm really looking forward to next season. But, you know, as far as a payoff for everything that's happened so far, this was the biggest payoff we've had in the history of the series.
That's good. I mean, and as far as that goes, it's like, that's exciting that not only was it a big payoff, but that a character that, you know, most people just have not liked, not cared about, not even not liked, but just didn't care about, like the governor. Mm-hmm. It's like he got a good justification somewhere in this season, right. And it's like, and he had a good end, you know, that whole right. situation. Because like that's the whole thing. Like you were like, oh, we're gonna see him in the midseason finale, which you were correct about.
No, I was. I said that way early.
100% correct about, but. I was skeptical because I just didn't like, I never really liked his character. And so it's like for them to build him up as a, you know, and be legitimate about it,
right.
You know, to make you actually, you know, have these complex emotions with that character. Most of the time it was just like complete ambivalence. You know,
right.
You
well, you know, I think, you know, the thing that the misstep that they took with the governor is they didn't go either way with him. They didn't make him good. Yeah. And lovable, but they also didn't make him bad. They tried to walk this middle line, and you like so he's not endearing in any way.
Right.
Like there are some people who like you love because you love them, and there are other people that you love because you love to hate them.
Right.
Darth Vader, you love to hate him. Like, you know, he is a villain.
That's true.
And if there's a villain is a villain, and you're like they're just bad, and
right.
there's no ambiguity.
Where with him that you they tried to make you care about him and make him essentially like they tried to make him a Rick-esque person.
Correct.
Without actually giving him the lovable aspect that Rick has.
Right.
You know, without going the whole route where it's like he's a good guy. Now, this dude was always a bad guy, but it was like he tried to convince people he was good, and that was the whole thing.
And I think to some extent now, like, in that, with these three episodes, you know, there was the crazy thing is there was a lot more character development
yeah.
in these three episodes than there were the entire last season
yeah.
for the governor.
Which is solid because, like, he had so much screen time last season that was just ill-used, you know?
Correct.
And it wasn't a fault of the actor. It wasn't a fault of – I mean, it could have been the showrunner. It could have been the writer. I mean, it could have been a lot of things. But it's like he was a good actor. And so as far as that goes, I'm glad that he got a solid like – ending essentially,
yeah.
To his story,
yeah, and he did. And by the end, like by these two episodes, like you know, like he is a bad guy, but he's very manipulative,
right?
And honestly, like he was,
and the contrast with Rick and him, it's like I feel like they were always trying, they were always like nodding to that, like in the first
but
last season,
yeah,
but it was
but
never
Rick
like
was,
it was never blatant. Like,
and the reason was because Rick was going so crazy that you
right.
really couldn't be like, yeah, this guy is this, and this, and the governor is this,
right? It's like they're two sides of the same coin, you know. No, you never got that because Rick was never himself, and the governor was always just awkward.
Right.
So, you know, and so I'm super happy that they had that as well, where like you got to finally see that this, you know, these two routes that were very similar ended in two different ways, you know, where
right.
it's like, you know, one guy stepped up and became who, you know, this crazy guy. And then the other guy stepped up and became, you know, this good leader,
right.
a good solid man.
Correct.
You know? And so it's interesting to me as well, like with everybody split up like that, do you think they will connect at any point, or do you think we're literally just going to be kind of bouncing from person to person for a while?
I think, you know, that's a good question. I hope that we don't do that for too long. I think that Rick and Carl may stay separate from the rest of the group for a while, just to kind of fit in some things that they fit in the comics. Something that we did see earlier in the season was the zombies hurting a lot more. Like there was a
That's
shot.
That's good. We haven't seen that for a while.
There was a shot in the comics where, or not in the comics, in the show this season where there were 2,500 zombies on the screen all at once.
Wow.
And we're going to see a lot more of that because in the comics, that's where it kind of goes.
Yeah.
They start herding up. And we kind of saw that with the attack on Herschel's farm.
Right. Well, that was so long ago. It's like, that's out of our minds. You know, we don't
right.
really, you know, and even
and
that,
so, but
it wasn't
starts,
that, it wasn't that large either.
Correct.
It was what, like maybe 100? 200?
Yeah, it was a few hundred, but it
yeah,
wasn't thousands.
I mean, like, it wasn't thousands, you know, and so we're looking at a much larger scale, and that would happen over time as well, just especially because they do have a tendency to herd and things.
Yeah.
And I like the idea, like, they played with in the, I think it was that episode, back at Herschel's farm, where it's like the plane went over Atlanta, and then a lot of them left Atlanta and picked up people along the way, and
right.
that's how they got started. So it's like, I feel like those types of things... starting them is kind of a cool idea to,
right.
to investigate and to have thousands of them rather than just hundreds.
Right.
It's great.
Yeah, and I think that's what they'll kind of encounter out there. There will be like some people reconnecting, and I could see maybe Carol hooking up with Tyrese and finding like maybe finding them. I don't know. I love that dynamic. I like what they're doing with that. Like,
yeah.
Just that conflict.
It seems like the
there.
Most drama that we have headed our way is from that plot.
Correct.
And so like, so essentially how many groups are there right now? Like three or four? I mean,
off
obviously
the
there's
head,
some people we don't even
I
know
think there's
about.
Five.
So.
Five different groups. And so they can't all stay separate. We can't be dealing with five different groups.
Right. And do you think they'll just maybe use this opportunity to kill some of them off?
I think they...
Because, like, what would happen and what does happen in...
I think their numbers will shrink for sure. Because, like, you know, Glenn is on the bus with all these people that we don't know, like a bunch of people. And so I could see him being the only survivor of the bus or something like that. Because, you know, they had hundreds of people in the prison.
Yeah.
Most of them were sick at that point.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we can't have hundreds of people running down the road together. Like, right. This group is going to shrink again.
Just doesn't work.
The main characters may stay the same. We'll probably lose a couple, add some from the comic.
Yeah.
I don't think we'll have the numbers, the total numbers that we have had at the prison.
You know, something that's about the show that's, like, somewhat, like, I've had to, like, it's somewhat unrealistic to me that some of the main characters have not died. Like, more of them haven't died. And we haven't filled those back in, but it's like, I love all of the characters and I'm invested in them. I don't want them to die.
Right.
You know, even the fact that Herschel died is, like, kind of upsetting and shocking to me because it's like, I liked that character a lot.
Yeah.
That's something that's interesting as well, that this season they're doing differently than before, is because before you would hate a character before they would kill them.
Correct.
Or they would give that character a specific episode to make you like them right before they would kill them. Whereas this time it seems like it's just kind of more of a shock fact, where it's just like, this person was there, now they're gone.
The interesting thing this season is, like, we don't really have that many characters that we don't know anything about. So, like, take for instance, last season we had T-Dog. He had been around since, like, the first season.
Yeah.
We knew nothing about him. He was just kind of there and never contributed in any way, visible way. And finally we had a T-Dog-centric episode and he died.
Yeah, it's so sad.
But they're not playing it that way anymore because these characters are being developed before they have to kill them.
Right, that's good.
Which is great.
That's great. And so it's interesting to me, again, it's like, to me, I have to, like, separate this because, again, I really love the characters. Don't want any of them to die. Don't want, like, Glenn to die. But it surprises me to a certain extent. Like, the realism side of me goes, wouldn't they have died? Wouldn't some of them have caught the sickness and died? Some of the main people.
Right.
You know, it's like...
Well, like Glenn got really, really... They were going to die. This is the thing. Like... There were more people who'd actually died during the sickness because, like, what would happen is they were in their cells.
Mm. Yeah.
They were all sick. Somebody would just die in the night, wake up, and chew up a bunch of people.
And just kill everybody.
And that happened twice, at least twice.
Yeah.
And the last time, like, they barely, like, made it out alive. Like, Herschel, like, was in there and, like, just fighting them off. And he was the only – because everyone else was gone getting medicine. Maggie came in and helped him, and that was it. But, like – Glenn got really, really sick. The girl got really, really sick. The woman with Tyrese got really, really sick.
Yeah.
And so, like, they would have died had they not come back with medicine. And so, you know, like, the thing that I run that line as well, where, you know, you're like, you know, more people would have died. But then again, like, there's a reason they're the main characters.
Yeah.
Like, these are the
most interesting characters,
the
too.
The most interesting characters, you know? The leaders. And they probably actually are the most likely to survive.
That's
because of
true.
Who they are.
Yeah, just because of the people they are. Yeah, you're right. You know, and it's like, whenever something like that happens, whenever, like, somebody who is a main character, who is, like, or somebody who's a leader of a group, all the other leaders of that group would band together even more so to save that person.
Correct.
Than they would just some random person in the hundreds of people that they have underneath them, you know.
Correct.
That sort of thing. So the pressure there would be fairly high.
But the other thing that I like about the show, though, now is, like, I really feel like they could kill off anybody at any time. You know, like, the only character that I feel like they are not going to kill off soon would be somebody like Rick or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't see that happening.
Yeah.
Because if you did that, like, then what's the story about? We started with Rick. I think the series will end with Rick.
You think?
I think eventually when this series ends, I think Rick will die.
And you think that it'll just be it'll be left to the shoulders of, like, one of the spinoff shows or something like that, potentially?
Yeah,
like,
we can talk about the spinoff show for a minute. So, you know, Robert Kirkman has already said that this is not going to be in the same time period or place as this current series.
So it can't be any of the characters that split off, that sort of thing. It's not like we're dealing with...
Correct. Now, it might mean that you might see some of them or something like that.
Might bump into them or, you know,
but
run into them in Woodbury.
There's been some, like, rumors, like, that it would be set down around the coast or something like that.
Now, do you think that it'll start with the first, like, zombie bite or the first outbreak?
I think there's also been some rumors that it will start way earlier than this current series. And it'll start with before everything goes nuts.
Pull like a Walking Dead, the game, that type of situation.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. Something like that.
I could see that doing really well. I really could. And especially like if you maybe bump into like one of them, like Michonne or something like that early on, you know, I feel like they're, but I almost feel like we want to catch up to the same time frame. Like if there's like battles going on, I don't know. It's like setting this back, you know, 5 years or 4 years or however long it is. It's like, I feel like that might be a, something that where it's interesting to watch, like interesting to see,
right.
But it's like at that point the audience might be thinking of it more as a history thing than it's like than this is, well, actually happening.
You know, with as far as that goes, I don't want to go too deep into it, but you know, like the cool thing about The Walking Dead is that it's not a show about zombies. It is
right.
a drama set in a that world with zombies, and because there's not really any overarching world events that happen.
Right.
All there really is the first initial outbreak.
Right.
And then the herding that starts happening.
Yeah.
And those are really the two overarching things that like would happen no matter where you were in the country.
Yeah.
And as long as those both of those things happen,
as long as those occur, you know, we're like, good to go. Like it's pretty timeless. Yeah, the storylines are pretty timeless.
Correct.
You're right.
And that's why The Walking Dead, the game works so well. Like
yeah.
this is an entirely different group of people, entirely different story. And it's so powerful.
Yeah.
You know? And so I think that, I actually anticipate another separate Walking Dead, TV series possibly being better than this current series because they're not constrained to tell the same stories
the
as the comics.
Graphic. Yeah, I mean, it's like, I agree with that. And I agree with the fact that, like, I mean, I feel like to a certain extent, they had some pretty slow stuff going on at the beginning of this one that they, like, they will have solved most of the pacing stuff
correct.
This season. Like, it seems like they've solved all of the, like, the pacing and the weirdness this season.
Yeah.
So it's like a new series based in the same world would essentially not be bogged down by some of the pacing things that happened early on in this show. So,
right.
you know, I mean, pluses on all sides. I'm super excited to see it. So
right. So that's really all I have to say about.
Do you want to? Do you want to get a rating real quick?
Oh, I can give a rating for like. I'll
this
give
is
a rating
the mid-season finale.
For the mid-season finale,
mid-season.
This episode. Man, I give this thing a 10.
Really,
this episode is a 10.
Wow.
In my book, it wrapped up so many things and set it up for it to come back. Like this.
The perfect episode, the perfect 10?
Yeah, it was a perfect episode.
Wow, okay, so like other mid-season finales like of other shows, are you going to be comparing it to this one?
Yeah, I mean, I honestly think that this did its job. Like, this is what I wanted to see in this episode. I went in wanting to see people die, I wanted to see the governor die, I wanted to see a big fight, and I wanted to see some really good emotional payoff, and you saw that on multiple levels.
Nice, awesome. Well, I'm excited to watch it for sure, so...
Yeah,
I'll have to catch up and catch that thing. So
cool. Yeah. I'll link to where I think you can watch full episodes on AMC.com.
Yes, you can.
And I'll link to that in the podcast on StayOnTargetPodcast.com.
All right, that wraps up the review for this week. That was a review of the mid-season finale of The Walking Dead TV
yes.
show. You can follow us on Twitter at JohnWright777 and
ChrisWright250.
We've got an Arrow podcast on our main website. That's StayOnTargetPodcast.com. You can also check out our YouTube channels and
yep.
everything.
We're putting up a lot more gaming videos.
Yeah, it's we've both with the Xbox One and everything. We both started some kind of gaming stuff going on. We've got a couple of like Call of Duty things that are up there with like commentary and stuff like that too. You can always check out the John's Comic Run if you're into comic books and want to know what to pick up or what I'm picking up rather every week.
You can access all that at StayOnTargetPodcast.com. So as always, we'll see you next time on
Stay on Target.